All righty, let's turn here this morning, if we can, to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. Now, we're leading up here in the next couple weeks to a revival meeting, so there'll be some you hear this week and next week that are kind of pointing us towards trying to get hearts ready. We ought to always be ready, I suppose. But I always think about it along those lines as we get closer to revival meetings. Here we are in the Chronicles of the Kings of Judea and of Israel. And we have met a guy here. His name is King Uzziah. He had another name in 1 Kings. It's Azariah, but he's King Uzziah. He reigned for 52 years. In general, he was a very good king, but there's something that happened. You'll read, if we'll start down in verse 15, that, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. His name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped, Bible says, till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest, that's a different Azariah, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, and that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, I'm grateful this morning for a chance to stand once again and preach. Just appreciate your goodness to us, Father, and glad Brother Darling got back safely with some plans made for this next year down in that part of the world. I just pray you'd continue to bless us here, Father, for all those that come that are relatively new to hearing these things. I pray you might help them to see that we're trying to point ourselves a little more towards spiritual things, that, Father, we have revival meetings coming up here, Lord, and whether we're revived or not will depend upon us, because we know you want us to be revived. So I pray you might give us some insight today, Father, and may we remind ourselves of our standing before God and what we are called to do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is one of those great moral lessons that you learn from the kings of Israel and Judah. Many of those kings were, of course, bad kings. A handful of really good kings. And then there were others that kind of had a mixed experience. You know, Jehoshaphat had a mixed experience. A good king, but made some bad mistakes. Solomon was the same, and King Uzziah was that same one, that a good king that made mistakes. He did fine, the Bible says, verse 13, until he was strong. You have to be careful when you're strong, because you become dependent upon your own strength. And it said, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And there's an issue with pride and ego that comes with being strong, either in the Lord or in physical strength or whatever. But then you read about his presumption, because while he felt that way, the Bible says in verse 16 that he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense, and there withstood him there the priest, the high priest, and 80 other priests, the Bible said, were valiant men. And they withstood him because of his presumption. Now, after that presumption, he, of course, became a leper till the day of his death. Now, I'm not here to threaten you with leprosy today, but I am here to tell you that presumption is not a good thing. All right? A presumption is not a trespass to be flippantly contemplated. King Uzziah was king, but he wasn't a Levitical priest. When he took upon himself to burn incense upon the incense altar, he crossed the line. He crossed over into other territory that wasn't his own. He set himself up, and like the Bible says, he was a leper for the rest of his life. Presumption is something that happens often in the Word of God. Eve was presumptuous. Cain was presumptuous. Nadab and Abihu were presumptuous. Solomon with his 1,000 wives was presumptuous. David with Bathsheba was presumptuous. Presumption will cost. And actually, this is going to take a little different course maybe than you thought. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I do not wish to trespass by presumption. I don't want to take upon myself more than is mine to take. I don't want to go beyond the bounds. I don't want to get off into left field. I don't want to do what King Uzziah did. And I truly admire the valiant priests of verse 17, at the end of the verse. These were valiant men. These valiant men went and withstood King Uzziah. It's no small thing to withstand a king. Didn't take a small amount of courage for those guys to say, no, you're out of line. Stop, king. Because he could have had their heads if he wanted. Correct? That said, I admire them. But at the same time, moving this up into 2024, and of course before this as well, class of valiant men, that class of courageous priests, has been replaced. It's been replaced by men that are not valiant, people that are not admirable, people that are not really consecrated or courageous. And yet they are now the thought police. They are now the speech police. And they are very quick to tell a child of God that knows God and knows what God said that he is out of line, and the things he's doing appertaineth not unto him. These priests came and said, hey, Uzziah, this appertaineth not to you. You're out of line. You can't do this. It's not right. I want to say that there's an entire subclass of people, and maybe even more than a subclass of people today, that would make sure and tell the child of God that this appertaineth not unto thee. Judge not lest ye be judged. This doesn't belong to you. Nobody knows they're saved, they say. Men wrote the Word of God, they say. They say, this appertains not to you. They'll hear you say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and they'll say, nuh-uh. It appertains not to you to say that, is what they say. So I want to preach to you for a little while here this morning. And again, it's kind of we live in a how dare you generation these days, you know. How dare you say that? How dare you have that attitude? You've got a critical spirit. How dare you? I want to say that me and you as Christians have an obligation. And I don't have any deep Bible for you here this morning. I just have some things I wanted to clear up, because I want to say that there are some things that do appertain to me. And they're quick to say they don't appertain to you. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't think that. Why are you reading that old book? You shouldn't preach on the street and tell people they're going to hell. Well, if they're going to hell, who's going to tell them? And so I'm here this morning to preach a message called It Appertains to Me. And I want to say, if it appertains to me, if you're saved, it appertains to you too. So again, we're moving towards a revival meeting where folks are supposed to get a little bolstered in courage and zeal to go another step than they're accustomed to going, a little further than they're comfortable going. And I would just say to you that while the world hollers in the majority, this appertaineth not unto thee, I want to tell you some things that does appertain to me, if you wouldn't mind. First of all, I'd like to say that it appertains to me to know that I'm saved. Like I said, this is not real deep this morning, so if you came looking for deep, we're just going to wade the shallow water, okay? But I'm here to remind you that the simple things sometimes of the Bible are what lead to real revival spiritually. It appertains to me to know that I'm saved. Now they say nobody can know they're saved, but I know I'm saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen? This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and I have it. Paul said, I am persuaded that... how's that going? Life or death? No, that's a different one. Yeah, don't preach my sermon for me, brother. I'll just skip that for now, but I want to say that pertains to me to know that I'm saved. Somebody says, well, nobody can know they're saved. That's said with bared fangs and venom dripping. If you're not careful, you'll wind up in a fist fight with Aunt Sylvia at Thanksgiving over the thing, right? And I've never quite understood, you know, why somebody should get so upset about being told how to be saved, or somebody thinking they were saved. Don't you want to know that you're saved? You know, you go to the doctor, and the doc comes in with a smile on his face, and you've had those tests run and been poked and prodded and stuck and fluids drawn and everything else. And he says, tell you what, it really looks good. I got nothing but good news. I mean, your heart's going good. Your kidneys work fine. Your liver works fine. Cholesterol's down. Weight's down. BP's fine. Prostate's the right size, et cetera, et cetera. And you go, nobody can know they're healthy. Right? That's kind of how this goes. They say nobody can know they're saved. I'm presuming nothing. It appertains to me to know that I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know when I got saved. I know where I got saved. I know how I got saved. I know by whom I'm saved. I just know I'm saved. I haven't even worried about being saved for a long time because I know I'm saved. It appertains to me. They say, no, it doesn't. Nobody knows they're saved. Nobody could ever know. Well, I know. It appertains to me. I want to say it appertains to you as well. I haven't fretted about whether I was saved for years. It has always impressed me that people who are so self-interested are suddenly not interested when it comes to their soul. Oh, I don't want to hear it. We don't talk about politics and we don't talk about religion at this table. Correct? I just want to say that it appertains to me. They don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about themselves on everything, whether it's money or politics or anything else. But when it comes to their soul, they're suddenly disinterested. Don't you want to know that you're saved? See, it appertains to me. It appertains for me to know. Do you know you have car insurance? Because I know I'm saved. Do you know how much money's in your savings account? Well, I know I'm saved. You say, well, that's dumb, Brother Stevens. No, it's not dumb. Folks know all kinds of stuff. But suddenly they're not worried, they're not concerned even about knowing whether they're going to heaven or hell. Now, I want to say it appertains to me to know that I'm saved. I want to say further, it appertains to me to seek and find the truth myself. Take your Bibles, go back to Isaiah chapter 55, if you wouldn't mind. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I want to say that it appertains to me to seek and to find the truth myself. For myself. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Search the scriptures, says Jesus Christ. For in them ye think that you have eternal life. So search them. Read them. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It appertains to me to seek and find the truth myself. Now the world looks at it like this. Well, the religion that we have was good enough for mama, and it was good enough for daddy, and it was good enough for grandmammy, and so it ought to be good enough for you too. We pay a priest to tell us what's true spiritually, so I don't know why you're going through all this mess. That's how they look at things. I want to say, though, the Bible says, every man shall give account of himself to God. It's appointed unto men once to die after this, the judgment. Bible says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. He brought forth books. Those books were opened, and every man was judged out of that book at the white throne judgment. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to say that it's not up to my grandmammy to pass me the truth. I want to say it's up to me to find the truth for myself. I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen to preaching. I'm not saying that you shouldn't follow guidance. I'm not saying that a kid doesn't need their mom and dad to help them. I am saying that it appertains to every one of us to seek the truth for ourselves. If you won't seek it for yourself, if you're not curious, if you don't care, then you just may not get it. They would tell us it does not appertain to you. Quit jamming the gospel down my throat. Okay, but it does appertain to me. It appertains to me. I'm the one that's to be judged. I'm the one that'll go to heaven and have bliss, or go to hell and burn. I'm the one that's going to have to stand before God one day. And, you know, for us Christians, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and none of us are lost. Praise the Lord. But every man gives account of himself to God. And when that day comes, I want to tell you, I just want you to know, it does appertain to you to know God, to have sought for the truth. Each and every individual, we're not going to be judged as a religious class. Right? We're not going to be judged for what our grandmas believed. You're going to be judged for what you believe. You're going to be judged for whether you sought God or not. I want to say further, it appertains to me to judge matters in this life. Now, you know the passage, don't you? Judge not, lest you be judged. It's a universally known and inflexible rule that we should not judge people. Every reprobate in town knows Matthew 7:1. Judge not. Judge not lest you be judged. I got news for you. Most of the relatively consecrated Christians that you know think that we should judge not lest we be judged. Problem is, I know what the rest of this passage says. The passage says that before I pick the mote out of my brother's eye, I should be interested in taking the beam out of my own. The 4x4 sticking out of my head needs to be gotten out so I can see to help my brother. The passage is not teaching not to judge. The passage is saying, first judge thyself, then help your brother. The Bible says this. The Bible says, why judge ye not the things that are right? Paul says, know ye not that you're going to judge angels, so why not the things that pertain to this life? Ladies and gentlemen, at every turn we are called to judge, to discern, to by prudence to understand, and prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, the Bible says. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. I'm here to say that the world will approach you and say it's not for Christians to judge. We are not supposed to be judgmental. You're out of line if you're judging. You're out of line if you have a negative attitude. You're out of line if you have a critical spirit. That was the watchword I think I told you a few weeks back of my day, just as I was getting things squared away with the Lord in college. Oh, you have a critical spirit. Well, it means that I'm reading the Bible and I don't agree with you. And I just want to say that it appertains to me. I mean, these priests came forward and bravely so, courageously so, said, King Uzziah, this appertaineth not to thee. You do not belong here. Now, I just want you to know that this world is out to make you sheepish. It's doing all that it can to remove the Bible from the very hands that you hold it with right now. And their attempt, Satan's a master of it, making you feel a little uncomfortable with the truth, and there's so much of a majority against you that you just kind of duck under and get sheepish about what's right. And while those priests rightly told Uzziah, "This appertaineth not unto thee," I want you to know that it does appertain to you to judge matters in this life. The Lord didn't hand you a brick. The Lord didn't hand you a pistol. The Lord didn't hand you a bat to go hit somebody with, but you're called to judge. You're called to discern. And all they're trying to do is drive you under the table so that you don't object to the currents of culture. They don't want to hear from you a contrary opinion. They want you to agree with them. They wish me to receive every foul spirit around. They want me to adopt every single corrupted, polluted thing they come up with as an opinion, as a philosophy. They want me to reject the Bible. They want me to reject Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear from God. They don't want to hear from God from me. But I want to say that it appertaineth to me to judge matters in this life. They want you to go along, and they'll make you feel sheepish if you don't. There's so many that speak against what you stand for that you just start feeling uncomfortable and sheepish, and you just don't want to make any ripples on the water. I just want to say, they got the wrong guy. I'm a child of God. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a husband. By the way, not in that order. I'm a pastor. I'm a friend. I'm a confidant. I'm a counselor. I'm a steward. I'm a watchstander. And I have interests to protect. And the Bible says, earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. The Lord was always seeking for a man to stand in the gap and speak. He was always complaining in ages of apostasy of the false prophets that stood and spoke wrong. They spoke smooth things and they spoke slick things. They were smooth talkers, but they didn't tell the truth. I just want to say, I have a holy God, a holy book, and a holy calling. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you have the same calling as me. You should not be sheepish about it. They say it appertaineth not to you. It does appertain to me. To know I'm saved. To seek and find the truth myself. To judge matters in this life. And I want to say further, it does appertain to me to inquire after your soul. Oh, that's none of your business. That's personal. It really is personal. It really is. Nobody can make that decision but you personally. It is nevertheless my place to tell you the truth. Somebody, not this week, but last Saturday, street preaching, quit roll down their window at the last moment, of course, just as they drove away, to make sure that we should blankety-blank and just leave them alone. No, I'm not going to leave you alone. Now, I just want to say, it's not easy for me to go street preach. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. It's something I have to push myself to do whenever I do it. But I want to say it does appertain to me. I'm the one that has the truth. I'm the one that has the eternal book. And I just want you to know that it appertains to me to inquire after your soul. Once again, I get a big kick out of the Christians who are quick to tell you that they're Christians, but they just don't do it your way because that's not the way to do it. Well, how do you do it? You don't do anything. You sit on your can and keep your mouth shut and never stand for anything. Where in the Bible do you find Jesus Christ doing that? He preached at every turn in public. Where did Jeremiah go private and sit with his legs crossed and his arms crossed saying nothing? He never did. That's not what John the Baptist did. I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, it appertains to me to inquire after your soul. The attitude that I'm a Christian, but I just don't do it that way. I just don't shove it down people's throats. That's the greatest indictment of all. It's a strange thing because everybody gets upset if you ask them if they're saved. Even the ones that are saved. I've never been anything but overjoyed when somebody asked me if I was saved. And the reason I'm glad is because I have the answer. So it makes me think that you don't have the answer if you're like, well, how dare you? It's the how dare you generation. I'm sorry. And, you know, if there were another way to do it that the Lord would set up where we could do this that's not intrusive and not contentious and not confrontational, but I don't know the way to do that. Once in a while, you just have to ask somebody, hey, do you know where you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know you're going to heaven or hell? It appertains to me. It's my job. It's my calling. I've always found it really funny that Christians respond the way they do. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if they're a Christian, they ought to be concerned about whether somebody's going to heaven. I want to say it appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. Look in Acts chapter 4 real quick. Acts chapter 4. Now, I preach this kind of leading up to revival because we have a lot of relatively new faces here and all those things. And I know what you have to battle as a young Christian, kind of getting right, getting things squared away. And, you know, it's nice to come and hear the truth and all those things. But the Lord is looking to change you. He's looking to push you outside of your comfort zone. And one thing that's not easy to do is to get in people's business. I don't particularly enjoy it myself. And, you know, there are just questions that I would avoid asking if I didn't have a high calling that I have. And I would be the one humanistically to say, it doesn't appertain to me. But then I get along with God and He says, it does appertain to you. You're the one with the truth. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. If you don't give them light, nobody's going to do it. The Pope won't. The Muslim imams are not going to. And the liberal news media sure isn't going to do it. So if you don't give it to them, I don't know where they're going to get it from. It appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. You know, our forefathers, the first generation of Christians in the New Testament. You know what they were? You know what the sobriquet, the name they were called in the Roman Empire? They were labeled haters of mankind. It was against the law in the Roman Empire to proselyte someone to another religion. It was against the law. You were the enemy of the state. First of all, if you converted to Christianity. Second of all, if you tried to convert somebody else. It was against the law. You were against Caesar. And that was one guy you really didn't want to be against. But they labeled us haters of mankind. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wicked shall be cast into hell. And all the nations that forget God. And so they killed Christians right and left for that. But still, it appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. It's within my bailiwick. I'm right to ask. I don't always want to ask. I don't always want to stop somebody and ask them. But it appertains to me. And the world would have you think that it does not appertain to you. You've crossed the line. You've gone too far. Shut up. Dive under the couch. They're out to make you sheepish. They're out to embarrass you. They're out to cut off your fruit so you do not become what a Christian should be. If there's something that should be revived, it's the self-knowledge that as a child of God, you're called to preach the gospel to every creature. You know, Ezekiel was told, he said, Lord says, go speak unto them my words, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Preach to them whether they listen or not. Preach to them whether they get converted or not. Just go preach to them. And that's what we're called to do. We're called, ye shall be my witnesses. That's what we're called to be. It appertains to me. It appertains to me. I'm not out to offend anybody unnecessarily, but it does appertain to me to offend them with the gospel if that's what offends them. The gospel is naturally offensive. It denounces man's righteousness immediately. It tells man that he's wrong from the start, that he was born wrong from the start. It tells him that his opinions are wrong and that the only answer is a very straight, narrow path through a single wide door, Jesus Christ. And it appertains to me to tell them. It's much more popular to say there are many ways to God and everybody's happy. But there aren't many ways to God. There are many ways to the devil. There are many ways to hell. There is one way to God through Jesus Christ. And it appertains to me. It appertains to you to tell them. Let me say this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. It appertains to me to speak in Christ's stead. It appertains to me to speak to you as though I have eternal authority to speak for Christ and tell you what Christ would agree to. It appertains to me to speak in Christ's stead. You know, Peter, 1 Peter 4, says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as if you were the authority itself. Folks, that comes from God. That comes from the authority of God. I'm called an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm called to speak in Christ's stead. It is a remarkable thing that if I stand here and tell you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that you can actually believe the words that I speak as pertaining to the Bible and that you can be saved from my words. As much as if Christ had stood in this place and said, you must be born again. It's a remarkable thing that he gives that kind of authority to mortal men. And you can never believe a mortal man just when a mortal man speaks without authority and without the Bible. But it appertains to me to speak in Christ instead to tell you and anyone else that'll listen what's right, what's wrong. It appertains to me. You know, here I preach, the better part of 4 hours a week. If you come for all four services, Sunday school, two churches, and then Wednesday night service, you hear me speak for about 4 hours. And I know that's the tribulation. I get it. I totally get it. And in that 4 hours, because there's so much that goes into an hour, I know that you will hear some of what I say will be opinion, hopefully backed up by the Bible, you know, and judgments that emanate from the Word of God. But I honestly can't remember the last time I expressed an opinion street preaching. Most of what I street preach is straight scripture. I don't remember the last time I knocked on a door or went on a hospital visit trying to lead somebody to Christ and expressed an opinion. I'm simply giving them the Bible. I'm speaking in Christ's stead. I'm not speaking in my own stead. I'm not telling you how to vote. Right? I'm telling you how to be saved. I'm speaking in Christ's stead. I want to say that it pertains to me to tell what the future holds. Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. To tell what the future holds. In fact, to tell what is true now. Hell is real now. Hell will be real in the future. You're going to hell without Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. It appertains to me to tell the future. I can tell you this, you are going to stand before God. You will either stand before God as a saved person before the judgment seat of Christ, where the judgment will not be about being lost, or you will stand before God before the great white throne judgment, and there you will be judged by your works. And I know how that's going to turn out. But it appertains to me to tell you what the future holds. And it appertains to everyone here to tell your friends and your loved ones what the future holds. Jesus Christ is coming back. There's going to be a rapture. Then there's going to be a tribulation. And then there's going to be a millennium. But the first thing is the rapture. We're going to all disappear. We're going to all go to heaven if you're saved, right? It appertains to me to tell you that. You say, well, I just don't believe all that. And talk. No, it's what the Bible says. It appertains to me. I want to say lastly, it appertains to me to avail myself of my standing with God. Take your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, and go down to verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, because of Simon Peter and John's boldness, and once they learned, they realized that they had been with Jesus Christ. It pertains to me to avail myself of my standing with God and to walk with Jesus Christ. Let Him do with me what He wants to do with me. In this case, Peter and John were known for their boldness, and those men took knowledge that they had been with Jesus Christ. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, as I close, what the devil wants to do with you as a Bible-believing Christian is to drive you into sheepishness, where you're just not comfortable speaking about it. I grew up in a community, a home, relatives, a family full of Christians who never spoke boldly about Jesus Christ, or the Bible, or spiritual things, or the things of God. That's not how my home runs today, right? But they're trying to insert sheepishness into your heart, uncertainty, so you're uncomfortable. And I want to say it's uncomfortable anyway, because what we fight in this world is the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil... His masterstroke is to make you feel uncertain and sheepish about certain things. If you're not careful, you'll be just a little bit embarrassed about Jesus Christ. You've probably felt it if you've gone street preaching, where the first guy to jump in, it's like jumping into cold water. And thus saith the Lord, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. And when that guy starts that first sentence, you're like, ooh, and you're saved. Because it's such a dash of cold water in the face. And yet it's true. And yet it's true. I am a southern boy, born and raised in Texas. My dad was of the type that would be in contention with nobody given a choice. It is not natural for me to stand up here and talk the way I'm talking this morning. It is not natural for me to go knock on doors and bother people doing what they're doing and ask if they know they're going to heaven when they die. It grates against my spirit every time I do it. It's not natural. It's not natural to stand in a public place and preach a subject nobody really wants to hear. Right? That's so against society. It goes so much against the grain. It goes so much against the current. And every time I do it, I have to kick myself to do it. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you thought you were the only one that was just a little uncomfortable with this public preaching stuff, because the rest of us are just so spiritual. Let me tell you how that works. I am so spiritual that all I'm trying to avoid is dereliction of duty. I am so spiritual. I love Jesus Christ so much that I just, all I'm trying to avoid is dereliction of duty. I don't want the Lord to look at me one day like he said he would look at Ezekiel and say, "You have blood on your hands because you didn't tell him." Left to myself, I think I'd let him die and go to hell. Left to myself. Just me, the way I am, by nature, quiet, kind of, you know, introverted. I know some of y'all don't see that very often, but it's because I've been forced here. It's more my style to sit on the front porch and drink iced tea and let the world slide by and all go to hell, I guess. But it appertains to me. And I have a consciousness that I have a duty. It's a high calling. And mainly, more than anything else, I'm trying to be transparent with you this morning. More than my extraordinary spiritual love for Jesus Christ, I mainly just don't want to fail him. I mainly don't want to fall down on the job and not do my job as a soldier. I'm mainly trying to avoid dereliction of duty. You say there are much higher there are much higher ideals than that, and yes, there should be. But sometimes on a cold morning, or sometime on a morning when I get up, when it's cold, I don't want to get up and go lay on the floor and pray instead of just lay in bed and stay warm. Certainly, it's not my ideal. It's never fun to go stand in a public arena and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Interrupt everybody's what they're doing, and they look at you like, "Whew, look at that." You know, it's not me. It's not me, but it appertains to me because of my high calling. And I want you to know something. I'm not talking as a pastor. Your calling is as high as mine. And if you're not concerned about dereliction of duty, you should be. The Lord's desire is never to leave you like he found you. I know how he found me, right? I was dirty, lazy, not a lot of character, reserved, never was much for one with a cause, you know. Don't like to embarrass myself. Don't like the spotlight all that much. So the Lord calls me to pastor. He calls me as a Christian. Calls me to street preach. Calls me to take the gospel to 3.5 million people in this area, that most of whom I don't know, and most of whom I don't like. But they're going to hell, right? And he called me here to tell you things that you sometimes don't want to hear. And None of it's because, boy, I just want to stand up here and make you mad. Because I'd just soon not. I'd just soon leave you alone, right? But it appertains to me. And something you need to realize is just that this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil, wants you to be sheepish with your Christianity. Wants you to keep it to yourself. If you've got it, just sit there quietly and enjoy it. But don't spread it to anybody else. I'm saying we are approaching revival meetings. And my goal is to push you because the Lord is wanting to push you. He's wanting you to go to places that you haven't been before. He wants you to try something that you haven't tried before. He wants you to grow in a way that you've never grown before. And so the growth causes some pain. But it's right. And it's good. Hey, it appertains to me. Okay? They said, King Uzziah, it appertaineth not unto thee to do this. And they were right. They were right. But that class of valiant, courageous priests have been replaced by the speech police, the thought police, who every time you give a contrary opinion to the world, they pitch a fit. And there has to come a time where you don't care, that you have your focus on Jesus Christ, and you're trying to avoid dereliction of duty by not doing more. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the high calling you've given us all.